helium, and while they were unable to interpret them, they felt that they came from Jassoom, the name by which the planet Earth is known upon Mars. John Carter being absent from helium, a fast flyer had been dispatched to Duhor bearing an urgent request to Paxton to come at once to the Twin Cities and endeavor to determine if, in truth, the signals they were receiving actually originated upon the planet of his birth. Upon his arrival at Helium, Paxton immediately recognized the Morse code signals, and no doubt was left in the minds of the Martian scientists that at last something tangible had been accomplished toward the solution of intercommunication between Jassoom and Barsoom. Repeated attempts to transmit answering signals to Earth proved fruitless, and then the best minds of Helium settled down to the task of analyzing and reproducing the Gridley wave. They felt that at last they had succeeded. Paxton had sent his message, and they were eagerly awaiting an acknowledgment. "I have since been in almost constant communication with Mars, but out of loyalty to Jason Gridley, to whom all the credit and honor are due, I have made no official announcement, nor shall I give out any important information, leaving all that for his return to the outer world. But I believe that I am betraying no confidence if I narrate to you the interesting story of Hadron of Hastor, which Paxton told me one evening not long since. I hope that you will enjoy it as much as I did. But before I go on with the story, a brief description of the principal races of Mars, their political and military organization, and some of their customs may prove of interest to many of my readers. The dominant race, in whose hands rests the progress and civilization, yes, the very life of Mars, differ but little in physical appearance from ourselves. The fact that their skins are a light reddish copper color and that they are oviparous constitute the two marked divergences from Anglo-Saxon standards. No, there is another. Their longevity. 1,000 years is the natural span of life of a Martian, although, because of their warlike activities and the prevalence of assassination among them, few live their allotted span. Their general political organization has changed little in countless ages, the unit still being the tribe, at the head of which is a chief or jed, corresponding in modern times to our king. The princes are known as lesser jeds, while the chief of chiefs, or the head of consolidated tribes, is the jeddak, or emperor, whose consort is a Jeddara. The majority of red Martians live in walled cities, though there are many who reside in isolated, though well-walled and defended, farm homes along those rich irrigated ribbons of land that we of Earth know as the canals of Mars. In the far south, that is, the South Polar region, dwells a race of very handsome and highly intelligent black men. There also is the remnant of a white race, while the North Polar regions are dominated by a race of yellow men. In between the two poles, and scattered over all the arid wastelands of the Dead Sea bottoms, often inhabiting the ruined cities of another age, are the feared green hordes of Mars. The terrible green warriors of Barsoom are the hereditary enemies of all the other races of this martial planet. They are of heroic size, and in addition to being equipped with two legs and two arms apiece, they have an intermediary pair of limbs, which may be used at will either as arms or legs. Their eyes are set at the extreme sides of their heads, a trifle above the center, and protrude in such a manner that they may be directed either forward or back and also independently of each other, thus permitting these remarkable creatures to look in any direction, or in two directions at once without the necessity of turning their heads. Their ears, which are slightly above the eyes and closer together, are small cupped-shaped antennae, protruding several inches from the head, while their noses are but longitudinal slits in the center of their faces, midway between their mouths and ears. They have no hair on their bodies, which are of a very light yellowish-green color in infancy, deepening to an olive-green toward maturity, the adult males being darker in color than the females. The iris of the eyes is blood red, as in albinos, while the pupil is dark. The eyeball itself is very white, as are the teeth, and it is these latter which add a most ferocious appearance to an otherwise fearsome and terrible countenance,